National Hour on Real Kipper and Bourne. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Mike Rupp in a few minutes. Everybody's talking Rangers, Devils last night at MSG.
Because of the Rangers comeback?
I went to Leafs Tampa Bay last night. So did not catch it live, but the moment it happened, I don't know, 6-8 guys, their phones started buzzing, and it's the phones are amazing. There's a lot of bad things about them.
Plenty.
But
mostly.
More bad than good.
Mostly. But the one part is something happens, you hear about it right away, and you get to see it right away.
Yeah. Our wonderful product, Sportsnet Plus. Sometimes I find myself on there picking a game, and that one was like, 7 o'clock. Leafs were about to drop the puck with Tampa. We cover the Leafs. I was like, Rangers. I had Rangers Devils on, toggle over to that one, and I did not expect what came.
Should we
next.
Have not talked about this a little bit more based on their short history? No, but
yesterday,
even last night.
Bad production by me.
How do we not know something was coming?
We did. We said they'd fight.
But a 5-on-5 brawl?
No.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, to what degree? How greasy could it get out there?
We're too busy crapping on Torts.
We did have a good Torts sesh.
Torts did it again. Sucked all the oxygen out of the room, left us nothing on the Rangers and the Devils.
Yeah. Was it Goodrow who took the draw at center and skated right to the D-man? Like, they obviously had set that up. They had a conversation. It looked like three guys were fighting, and the other four guys were like, well, we're not going to look like the punks here.
Well, I just thought the visual of all the guys getting shipped and all just skating off the ice.
In a row of ducks right off the rink.
I'm like, that's as hockey gets. Right, that's just slap shot stuff.
That's a bad call.
What?
That they got kicked out.
I actually saw,
just a horrible decision.
Both teams agree they want to do this thing.
It's all at the same time. You're going to tell me now that VC and Lazar started fighting like 2 seconds before anyone else? Therefore, you're out of the game
but
now.
You know what? They want Rempe and Bastion out there. So that's why they don't say that's the first fight. I'm sure they're like, let's just make sure these two guys go. Anyway, we have someone more important than me to talk about this.
We do, because he was right there. Let's welcome in Mike Rupp, former NHLer, Stanley Cup champion. Rupper.
What's up, fellas?
Was that fun last night at MSG?
Yeah, it was. It was a good time. Hey, you know, we thought it would. And so many times, when you think these things are going to happen, or maybe not that. I didn't think we're going to have a 5-on-5 brawl, but just to even see the Rempe McDermott fight, there's a lot of, lead up to it, and then a lot of times there's nothing. But just felt a little different. And man, what ended up happening? It's the place was a buzz there at MSG, and. I love those things. I personally think that it's the most galvanizing thing you could do as a team. I know it doesn't happen that often, and you can't necessarily fabricate those situations to happen, and they don't happen. But when they do, I think it's something unique. Just from the standpoint of, Matt Rempe, let's look at it from the Rangers standpoint. He's been awesome, right? A polarizing guy. He's coming in, whether you like him, you don't like him, whatever the situation is. He's come in here, and the Rangers could have been like, all right, well, you got to answer the bell here, and, whatever. We're all going to get a front row seat. They're like, no, we're in this too. Like, and that to me, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is something like, that gives me goosebumps. And I think of it from the other side too with McDermott. I mean, this has been a Devils team all year they're pretty revered as being a soft team. I mean, they are. Yeah. And they go out and they get him. And I think it's really important when you get a guy like that, it doesn't change your team toughness. You guys got to be in it together as well. And I think they could have very easily said, all right, Mac, go do your thing. No, we're in it with you. I love that stuff. I think it's a great sign for both teams. And again, that stuff, man, when you get in the trainer's room after the game or the plane or the bus or whatever the circumstances and the stories are flying and the ice bags are Anya. I mean, those are the things you remember.
We're talking to Mike Rupp, NHL Network analyst, former NHLer, Stanley Cup champion. We're talking Devils, Rangers, 162 penalty minutes, not since 2014 when Tortorella had to chase down the Calgary dressing room. Have we seen something like this? But when you factor in the brief history now since Rempe's come in between the Rangers and the Devils, Rupper, this had to happen last night, right? It just, there was so much air in the balloon that something needed to happen to alleviate all that pressure. Like, there's no way around it last night.
No, there's not. You knew it was going to happen. You know that Matt Rempe was going to. But I also like the fact that, like, I'm okay with him not fighting the last game. And, you know, this is all kind of part of, hey, you've got leverage in a situation like this. I mean, you got to do it on your own terms. So, but I felt like it finally kind of came to a head where you knew it was going to go down in some way, shape, or form last night, and probably not in that manner I didn't expect. But I mean, that's something that he stepped up. He did his thing here. We'll see if he can start getting through games against the Devils at some point here. But so far, I mean, he's made himself very endearing to Ranger fans.
I'll get your thoughts, JB, and we'll start with Rupper first, though. But Travis Green, he's the first coach to fill out the game sheet. Like, what do you expect, Peter Laviolette, when the game sheet comes back to his office and you see McDermott's name starting? Like, that's the invitation, is it not?
100%, yeah. I mean, I think that that's basically saying without saying, that's saying, we're here to do this.
Yeah.
What are you guys going to do about it? You know what I mean? Like, that's basically what that is to me. You know, I remember back in 2012 when we had that incident, you know, with the three fights, Devils, Rangers, MSG, Torts came in the room because at that time, Pete DeBoer put in the lineup first. And that's when he had, you know, Eric Bolton, Cam Jansen, he ended up kind of stacking their group. Ryan Carter was the center. And, but anyways, Torres came in the room and I remember him kicking the garbage can. And he's basically just like, what am I supposed to do? He goes, I can't. It was kind of funny. He goes, what am I supposed to do? I can't put Gabby out there. Talk about Marion Gabrick. And, he's like, you know, I gotta protect. We gotta have guys that can protect themselves. And so, whether that was true or not, or whether he wanted it to happen, you know, you've got Peter Laviolette's got to come back with Rempe and the guys who can handle themselves. So, I mean, I think for the situation there, Travis Green would be like, you know, I didn't understand why he was so upset. You know why he's upset, and I'm okay with it.
So, Rupper, I think you're a perfect guy to weigh in on this. You know, you played in the league a long time and scored plenty of goals and played an important role and also been in the fisticuffs and all that. What do you say to people who say that this is dangerous, this doesn't belong here in the sport? Like everyone who's played recognizes what happened last night. But what do you say to the people who don't think that, you know, it is dangerous last night and shouldn't be a part of the game?
I think the first thing is, we want all hockey fans, man. You know, like I'm, if you're a hockey fan, you don't like fighting, I don't care. Mm-hmm. The more people that are watching the game, the better. Like, we can all consume it in the way that we like to consume it. But I don't tell me that there's no place for it. That's our foundation of our sport. It's a violent sport, man. Like, yeah, that's what it is. And it's gotten cleaner, way cleaner. I mean, you guys know this. Anybody who's watched the game knows this. And the other thing that drives me nuts in all of this, and I mean this through and through and through, I have never, ever, ever in my life. So, you know, I mean, I probably had, I don't know, 150 fights over the course of junior hockey, pro, whatever. I've never in my life had to fight. No one made me do anything. I chose to fight. Did I want to in all the situations? No, but I had to because of, you know, I wanted to, not make things worse for my teammates, not make things worse for myself. You do not have to fight. So anybody that drops their gloves in hockey, they're willing. You know what I mean? And people can say, no, that's not true. At one time, it wasn't true. Kipper, I'm sure you could tell some stories where guys were forced to fight or they got jumped or whatever. We don't see that nowadays. Like, you get, you know what I mean? Like, I just... It's a decision.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And quite frankly, if you're a guy that's going to play hard, like, here's a perfect example. Go look up Patrick Hornquist's career fights. Mm-hmm. Patrick Hornquist was one of the most antagonistic, you know, around your net, frustrating players, in your goalie's grill, smiling at you all the time. I think he has one career fight, maybe two. So my point is, you don't even, it's almost advantageous for you not to fight and play that role now, because now everybody wants to get you and you're just drawing penalties for your team left and right. You know what I mean? So like, you don't have to do anything. That's the part that bugs me, is when people say, you know, make it like the players don't have a decision in this.
The other thing I find it hard to explain, and I've been around this game a long time, is to explain to people that have never been in that environment how it can bring and galvanize a team together and make you, like, Devils lost, right? Rangers won. Both those teams are going to practice this morning feeling great about what happened. Yeah. They can bring you together emotionally even more than a 5 or 10 game winning streak could.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, because it strips everything down, right? Like, and that's the point too. Like, and I know we've already kind of discussed this a little bit, but like John Marino, Chris Tierney, these guys don't fight, you know, and Jimmy Vesey, they don't fight, but they had the drop of a hat show that they're going to stand side by side with their teammates. And some people might be like, oh, that's lame, that's stupid, that's barbaric stuff. Like, that doesn't mean anything. That's garbage. Because I know when I'm on the ice, and I've been on teams maybe where I've been on a team before where one of the players will remain unnamed, a younger player said to me, came up to me between periods, I was an older player, and he goes, hey, Rupper, player, blah, 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 he's all over me. Can you go take care of him? I'm like, that's not how this works. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, like, push back a little bit on your own, too. And you know, and then, so, like, when you have guys that are making themselves uncomfortable and doing things out of the ordinary for the team, that same thing as blocking a shot, right? Like, we see and we talk about how many times that when a guy lays down to block a shot, what that does to your bench, or take a hit to just get the puck deep, right? That's always been one of the ultimates. Like, you know you're going to get hit here. You're not bailing on the play, because if you bail on the play, they might score. You might lose the game. I can't emphasize it enough that there is nothing that will bring a team closer together than getting in a dust up with one another. I believe that through and through.
Rupper, we know we got only a few minutes with you here. We got to talk about the matchup between the Pens and the Caps tonight. You're at the building right now, and as I told these guys, 4 or 5 days ago, man, don't underestimate Sid's shoulders and how big they are and how much weight he can carry on them.
He has been, listen, I know I do the color for the Penguins. So people will be like, oh, well, you have to say, no, listen, there was a few games there, a stretch in there after the trade deadline where I thought that Sid looked defeated. Like, mm-hmm. He looked like, he had a stretch there where I was like, his body language wasn't great. And I'm like, oh no, you know, and I don't know what, you know, maybe he's just tired. Maybe it was whatever, but he's found this gear now. And not just him, Brian Rust has been incredible. And great story with Alex Nedeljkovic right now. I mean, they've got this thing going, and it's literally in the, Sid's been great for a while now, but now everyone else is starting to chip in a little bit. And it's, he's not going to have enough point totals, because I think that's the way that these things go nowadays. But he should be in everybody's heart conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how good he's been all season long. And right now, I mean, he seems like he's good for 3-4 points every night and find a ways. I'd say buckle up in this game. I think we're going to see him put on a show in this one, because he's been trending that direction for a little bit of time now.
Yeah, he's been trending that way. And look, I tell you, we watched the Capitals play the Leafs a couple times over the past 2 weeks. It's not a great, they're struggling. They look slow. Yeah. I understand they are where they are in the standings. They haven't looked great to us here. What are your thoughts on that snail's race in the Eastern Conference for the final playoff spots?
It's crazy. because we're sitting here, and I was doing the Western Canadian trip, and there's been so many different times where I've thought, whether it's the Penguins, I'm like, oh, you know, they're dead to rights here, you know, like they're done. And then you wake up and you're like, I mean, they still got a chance here. You know, they win two games in a row, and we're like, oh my gosh, that game on Thursday in DC is huge. I mean, you can say that about all these teams. I mean, there was a stretch there where the Islanders were good, and you're like, oh, Islanders look like they're going to be in this, and then they're not. And then, you know, the games in hand have always been something for the Capitals that you've kind of just leaned and thought that they're going to be able to do that. Now they look like they've dropped off a little bit. Detroit, you don't know what you're getting from them. It's kind of crazy. So, when I look at all of that, I have to go back to, all right, who can you lead? What do we know from some of these teams? And what I do know is we're going to have an elite Sidney Crosby, right? And we have an Evgeny Malkin who is rejuvenated the last couple games. Does Detroit have guys like that? I don't know. I mean, Washington had Ovi for that stretch, and then Ovi's kind of chilled out here a little bit. We'll have to see. But, man, it's all about just – it doesn't matter how you've gotten here. If you're minus 35 goal differential, if your power play stinks, it doesn't matter. Any of that matters. You literally win your games in the next 10 days, you're in the playoffs. And I think that's the way these teams got to look at it.
Did you see before the All-Star break, Ovi knocking on the door of 30-goal season?
I had a bet with Jason Demers. So when he was at 43 games, 8 goals, I said he's going to get 30. And we made a wager. I didn't feel very good about that. And then all of a sudden, you know, I can start running my mouth, you know, in the last few weeks because he's gotten up there. But, hey, here's where it's at. If he's going to get there now, he's going to have to will this team. He's going to have to will this team because you're right. They haven't looked good. The Caps haven't looked great in the last number of games. Ovi's going to have to be getting another streak going right now if this team's going to get in. And I would expect them to be firing on all cylinders. I think we'll see a great Crosby, throwback Ovechkin matchup here in D.C. tonight because they're great, and that's what they do.
All right, Rupper, we're going to let you go, pal. We really appreciate you coming on the show. We know you got a big night ahead of you. We'll be watching right there with you. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks, Rupper.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff from Mike Rupp there.
Yeah, really good stuff.
This race is fascinating. You know, tonight, the Capitals, if they lose tonight, the Penguins will be 1 point behind them with the same games played. Sorry, with one more game played, but then they play a back-to-back against Carolina tomorrow. So this could get real tight real quick for the Caps if they don't get a win in the next 2 days. Islanders got Columbus tonight.
Complicated feelings for me.
About
again.
What?
But depends.
Yeah.
It's just like I can't root against Sid.
No.
And it's like with all the stuff I talk about Ovi, I can't be like, yeah, but I hate Ovi more than I hate Dubas. So I gotta root for Sid.
To rank your hatred.
I gotta root for Sid. And he's been unbelievable, and he's right about the heart thing. He won't win it. But like how many
yesterday.
When you vote, like is it like the NBA thing where you have 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah.
5?
Yeah.
Five to me, he's in the top 5 heart candidate. Like,
definitely.
No question. Like
definitely
he's not gonna win it. There's huge point totals. Like I understand it. But he deserves to be mentioned in there and have, you know, third or fourth place votes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So you got your top 3?
Yeah.
Austin and Sid.
What about Roman Josi?
Perfect. Right.
Didn't
that's
you like Josi? What about Connor Hellebuck? Yeah, he slowed down.
No. I think that's it. That's the top 5 is
I think if you Kucherov. Wrote that down, you would not be the main character on Twitter the next day. Do you remember last year some guy left McDavid off his ballot for top 5?
And wasn't that the only reason he wasn't unanimous?
Yeah. He had like, I don't know, 199 votes for first, and then the kid didn't put him on.
I think it was a Pittsburgh
five.
Guy.
It was.
I forget his name.
Don't, because he wants that, right?
Well,
that's what this is.
I legitimately can't remember it. So,
so the hand of God, me either.
So. You expect Pitt to win tonight?
I do. I expect Sammy to give us a number on Sidney Crosby over 1.5 or something tonight. That's all I expect. They may win, they may lose, but I think Sid's going to be involved. Maybe even a shots prop, like over 2.5 shots.
You're not gonna jinx Pitt like you jinx the Edmonton Oilers with
who?
McDavid, 3 assists.
No,
yesterday.
So, listen, if you've been listening all year, bet against what I say. Be a millionaire.
These are not, no one's mentioning the word lock is not in the...
There's 7 games to go, and now you tell me?
I'm not exactly setting the lines in Vegas here, boys. I'm a bit of an idiot. I think we all know what this is. But, I don't know if you watched any of that game last night, the Edmonton and Dallas. First of all, boys, Dallas is a wagon. They are an excellent team. They're wearing those stupid lime green jerseys that are
awful.
They're
something else, aren't they?
They're like a margarita.
They look terrible. it's not National League.
They look like night vision goggles or something.
They're embarrassing. It looks like, it's like on the streets
Mountain
of Oshawa.
Mountain Dew stars.
But they're awful jerseys, but they look really good. But the first period, that game was really tight, close game. It was 1-0 after the first. And for the first 10 minutes of the second period, the Oilers poured it on. Yeah. They were by far the better team.
They do what the Leafs do. When they get doesn't go in, they get frustrated and they push 100%. Forward. And all of a sudden, look out going that way.
And then they just came like a wave. They got a power play goal from Sagan. Who else scored for them? They were just rolling. They look
Remember
really
when I told
good.
You about Dallas a couple weeks ago?
That they're good?
No.
Oh.
Just one guy. They just need one guy going.
Ottinger.
Yes.
Back-to-back shutouts.
Yes.
Yes.
Like his numbers are off the charts the last 7.
Yeah. So here...
It's like a 955.
It's hard, right? Because
you win
out.
With 955.
I think you win, yes, almost every time. It's just crazy watching the Stars, and it's like Thomas Hartley, Wyatt Johnson, or Johnston. It's like, because you don't watch them all the time, you don't recognize those are like elite guys. Those are high-end guys in the league now.
I think it's...
Did that kid score his 30th goal?
He did.
20th, wasn't it?
Wyatt Johnson, no, his 30th.
30th?
Yeah.
30.
So many.
And he's 20. That's what you're thinking of.
I know. And good Lord.
The crazy thing is for me that they're such an elite team and they've really done a great job of bridging it from like
Sagan, the vets to the next
Ben
wave
kind of thing that like they're making way too much money and they've kind of managed to sort of middle it with bringing up and like that got that Stankoven who looks awesome. He's flying around out there. Wyatt Johnson,
bachelor
Harley.
Pads, though.
Oh my God, Turtle Man. They look awful.
It's not like you can just definitively say, oh, this is their number one line. They got like 3.5, 4 really good lines.
Yeah.
That
when,
just
when
come
those
at
ben
you.
Ben and Sagan deals up one more year in each after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, sorry, Sagan has till 27, but Ben is this year and next.
But those guys are battle tested. Ben's a battle tested playoff guy that will find a way to shoot it in the net and piss you off at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, he's a big, strong man.
Yep.
No doubt about that.
Sagan's contributing offensively this year. I think he's got 23 or 24 goals. Like, he's been really good. So, he's not what he used to be.
He's got 50 points. 23 goals, 50 points.
But what's he make?
9.875, and he makes that until 27.
Okay.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's more than I thought it was.
Not ideal.
So we're going to do game time here.
All right.
But before I do game time, and I want to get this all organized while we go to break, please text us.
Oh, yeah.
Text us now.
Text 595.
Text 595-590. We want from all over Canada. We don't just want Toronto questions. We want Toronto's questions from wherever you are, from Vancouver, from Calgary, from Edmonton, from Ottawa, wherever you are. So text us 590-590 and tell us some thoughts and we'll read them. And I can organize them in the break so they're not all pouring in at once.
As a reminder, we're not on the air tomorrow.
Yes.
Because of...
We have to watch the Jays hit more home runs.
We got to watch the Jays take pitches.
Take pitches. That's a good way to put it. Oh.
Boys, it's a tough watch.
Like, if they come home after this 11-game road trip, like with 4 wins, are we okay? 5 wins?
No.
Yes. No, Kipper, I said 100% that if they got home with, 500 or a game under, that's a good start to the season. The trip they started, it's Rays, Houston.
Oh, yeah, Houston's
Yankees,
tough.
Yankees. It's like a tough trip. But the process of getting there, it's like, holy crap, is this a grind.
It's been ugly.
Anyways, game time. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I'm just pulling it up here. You made a comment off air that I won't make you repeat on air about this Sidney Crosby versus versus Washington Capitals game tonight. And we're having a tough time sort of, handicapping it. Which way? Who do you like? So is Vegas. Bet365 has this up as minus 110 on both sides. They
just
literally have
dead split.
They have no idea who's going to win this game. You know, if I really am betting on Sid, but to me, it's just such a toss up. I really have no idea.
Kipper?
Do you go with Charlie Lindgren tonight?
I don't know. Is there anything
can he keep him
out of Washington?
Can he keep
made
him?
You believe in Washington?
2 and under. That's the number. Either he wins 2-1 or 3-2, or he gets blown out.
Yeah.
So
Sid's scary though. Sid's with that redirect, that forehand redirect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The 70-degree wedge.
So I'm looking at the to reach playoff odds. So they've obviously slimmed it down big time here with the odds, because in the West it's basically done, but the East clearly it's not. Detroit Red Wings are -115 to make it. New York Islanders are +180 to make it. The Philadelphia Flyers are -110 to make it. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are +550 to make it. And then the Capitals are -115.
The thing is, the Penguins win tonight and you've made that bet, you're feeling really good.
So it's like, it's almost, you're almost getting like borderline +550 for the Penguins to beat the Caps tonight. Like in a way, there's like, there's a way you can convince yourself that if they win tonight, that changes them big time. So,
it does.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. It's a good one.
Thank
you. And next week, Pitt has Detroit.
Next week, so yeah.
That's.
They have a lot of games against
teams. They have a tough schedule.
That's
though.
A tough.
They got Tampa. They got Toronto. They got Boston left.
Boys.
They got some tough teams.
Monday night in Toronto. If they win like the next couple.
Yeah.
High stakes game for Kyle Dubas' Penguins coming
in
to Toronto.
Toronto.
And Kyle won't talk to us.
No. He might actually do well. He needs to
say something for sure.
Yeah, me too. Will is not the same thing.
I can't see him shutting it down on a Monday.
Well, maybe we'll get him on.
And there's just another game to highlight tonight. Excellent Eastern Conference matchup. The Boston Bruins pay a visit to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. Hurricanes, overwhelming favorites, -155. It's a big number. Boston's +130. You know, one of the President's Trophy candidates at a plus number like that. I don't mind it, but God, Carolina looks really good. So that's another big one on tap tonight. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
I don't think the Bruins are going to play in the second round of the playoffs.
Wow.
Right now,
don't even know
where
they're
Bruins.
Playing.
Well, they're going to probably play in Tampa.
Tough.
So that's a good take.
Tough bounce.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. News and notes when we come back. Some big names in, some big names out of the lineups. Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Hurdle in.
Hurt is not hurt. Hurdle's in.
Hurdle's in.
All right.
And one last reminder, text us 590-590. Our boy Semi is getting ready to read them as we cruise into the weekend. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We're back after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's bring it home here, boys. Flyers captain Sean Couturier out day-to-day with an upper body injury. This, I got to think he can't wait for the season to end.
Mike?
First, what you missed, Mike was obviously said, did torts punch him? And I would agree that, yes, this does not seem like very much fun, let alone going to battle in a first-round series against the Rangers or something.
If they get in.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're doing everything they can to drop this ball, but they're pretty close to the end zone. They need 7 points over 6 games, roughly, to get in. Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal next for them. Like, they should get in.
They should.
What else did I put in news and notes? There was something else I wanted
did
to
Did anyone think. Send any texts about your new hat?
No.
They should, because it's beautiful.
Thanks, buddy. You're appreciate welcome. That. It was almost like it was made in a lab for me.
I don't get it. I don't get your hat.
What about it?
Well, it's a Blue Jays hat.
It's a Blue Jay hat with a golf.
Turn to the camera on the other side, Sam.
It's got
other side. There you go.
It's got a green on it, a golf green.
It's a rope.
And it's in a rope.
So does that mean that the Blue Jays are golfing?
Yeah. No, they can't golf. Well, they go to Cabo and golf in the winter when they lose in the first round. The Leafs go in the summer. You know, it's got the whole season's covered. What was I going to say to you guys? Ekblad is the one thing that I wanted to put in here, but we touched on that, I guess, right? With Ekblad being out?
No, we didn't.
We didn't know.
No.
Ekblad hurt again?
Hurt again.
There was a crazy quote.
It always seems like he's out.
Yes. Maurice had a quote where he said that we know what it is. We're familiar with what is happening, and he's familiar with how long it takes to come back from this. He's trending positively, and we think we'll have him back by playoffs.
Factor in Carter Verhaeghe will be lost for the remainder. They think possibly he could get the last game of the season if he needs a tune-up, but like they're limping in.
Yeah. You would want, though, to not let those guys get their feet under them because obviously they can go back to being the dominant force we've seen them be at times, but... Yeah, they're certainly struggling at this point.
Do you guys want to do texts?
Texts.
Hurdle.
Time
Hold on. Hurdle. Oh. Thomas Hurdle. Golden Knights. Like, they were looking pretty good this week.
Edmonton.
They're coming.
Huh?
Is Edmonton going to draw them?
Boys. Edmonton is sweat.
Let me find.
It's almost.
It's almost like, a lock
give
now.
Give me a percentage.
Okay. Here's what scares me about Edmonton. Versus top five teams in the NHL,
oh, yeah.
They're 4-6-1. Versus teams 6-10, they're 3-3-2. The next cluster of five, 7-6-1, then 21-6-1, 10-2-0. So as the teams get worse, they get way better, way better. But you don't want a good team losing half of their games to teams that are in the playoffs. So I'm concerned about them beating a good team in a seven-game series is the point I'm trying to make, Portland.
Minnesota or Calgary or St. Louis to still make the playoffs.
They need, Arizona or Columbus, maybe.
Like, if Hurdle's half decent,
yeah,
it's huge.
Hanifin, since he's been in Vegas, is like a 60% expected goals guy.
He's hammering the puck.
Awesome for them.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, and you take him out of context on a team that was struggling and put him on a good team, and boy, what a difference maker he's been for them.
That's happened here with Lavushkin.
Right.
People were saying he was the worst player in the league.
The worst player in the league was actually what people said when they acquired him.
He's been really good. Well, not really good, but passable.
Buddy, he's
exactly
really
what
good.
They need.
He's been really good.
All right, I'm going to start with this text. All right, Kipper. Did
yes.
Kipper ever fight Ty Domi, or was Kipper done before Ty came into the league? From Mike...
No.
From an old team of Ty in Windsor.
No, didn't ever fight Ty.
Would you have fought him?
Ty was like, he was proby, man. He was a heavyweight.
You never saw yourself in that category?
No, I never saw myself in that category. At times I was stupid.
Yeah, so you fought some guys in that category.
Late Chris Simon was my probably scariest moment of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Baumgartner.
Yeah.
Joey Kosher.
But you played against Ty? You would have had opportunities to fight
Ty? Ty and I had a little bit of kind of Toronto history, so.
There is the bit of deal cutting, not saying cut deals.
Because he played soccer and you were a soccer guy. Yeah. He was like a really good
Ty's
soccer player.
3 years younger than me, so we didn't compete against each other, but we had enough times that we bumped into each other where it's like, yeah, you got other guys you can fight, right, when you see my team?
So my dad and Clark Gillies both were drafted by the Houston Astros. And so when they were 16 years old, they knew each other from playing like rookie ball in Covington, Virginia. They met at age 16 playing baseball.
Sick.
I know, crazy. So they go back to the WHL and, you know, Clark is a big, tough, mean guy. And my dad was like, we made friends, you know, like we were pals when we played each other, right? You didn't have to fight or be, you know, have that come up, which is nice.
So bringing this conversation into last night, MSG, you've got Rempe and
McDermott
lining up against each other. We know that's happening. Usually if something like this was going down, it's centerman on centerman last night. Barkley Goodrow was taking the face off against Chris Turney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Buddies.
Oh, those two are?
Buddies.
Yeah.
What happens? Goodrow.
I'm going to pass
bypasses
on you.
Turney.
That's funny.
The closest guy bypasses him and goes straight for ball on the defense.
I love that. You can still serve the purpose of sticking up your team without punching your friend in the face.
That's right.
It's great.
That's awesome. You mentioned something there, like, not to get off on a tangent.
So, okay, can I tell you one more story?
Yes.
So, you know, I know Ty a little bit. I get traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we're playing against Detroit. It's Proby. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to see firsthand, you know, another Domi Proby fight. So, you know, I get to the rink early. And there I go by the Zamboni entrance. And there's Proby and Ty together having a coffee, signing pictures of their fight in Madison Square Gardens.
That's awesome.
At probably like $20 a pop.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great. It's a business, man.
And they still went out, I think, and fought.
Yeah. Of course.
How cool is that?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But you mentioned something there about like the playing other sports.
Yeah.
And I feel like that in this era is lost a little bit. Like, I remember, I forget whose book, maybe it was Bobby Orr's book that I read, and he was talking about how in the winter, in the summer, never even considered hockey as a thing. Like, he was like, I play baseball, play soccer, play this, or play, like, now it's like, it's so specialized. Like, I find that in soccer, there's so many things you can learn about, you know, the way you're playing and baseball and all this stuff. It's just so specialized now.
I'm telling you right now, like, Rempe and Curtis McDermott, they're going to be buddies.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be buddies when it's all said and
done. McDermott already said in that interview that I have a lot of respect for the kid after previously saying he had none.
Are you kidding me? A ton of respect.
Yeah.
Where would Curtis McDermott be if it wasn't for Rempe now? You think we would have talked about him?
I see what you're saying. He got traded there for that purpose.
For that purpose. Rempe gave Curtis McDermott a chance to come back and be a player in the NHL and an important one for New Jersey. He went from a forgotten guy in the lineup, out of the lineup, in the minors, nobody's talking McDermott until Rempe came along.
That's interesting.
And now he's on the Devils. Something like that happened last night. And correct me if I'm wrong, go to your cap friendly. McDermott is an unrestricted free agent.
With more value than he had a month ago.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
This guy went from, like, I don't know, where is he? Google him. I don't know what team he's on to. Devils got to sign this guy. He might sign a 3 or 4 year deal for $4.5 million. Devils need him. They can't have Rempe.
How old is he? He's under 30?
He's under 30. He's probably 29 or 30. Yeah. And you know what's the other?
He is 30.
Rempe gives up 9 years of experience on him. Like, I'm watching Rempe last night. I thought he fought a very smart fight. He was.
Which he hadn't been earlier on.
He was able to do what he did, and he played defense. Mm-hmm. Curtis McDermott went in last night saying to himself, I want the knockout. He wanted to knock him out.
Yeah.
And Rempe, at age 21, didn't let that happen. Smart kid.
Maybe you can speak to this a little bit, but you know, I mentioned Clark Gillies. You know, my father-in-law talked to him a little bit about some of the fighting stuff. And he said he didn't mind fighting. He hated the buildup, like knowing when he had to fight the night before, or whatever. That was a hard part. And I saw Rempe before the game. There's a clip of him on social media. He's got his headphones in and he's slapping himself in the face and, like, you know, like practicing, like, you know, visualizing the fight, which that's tough. You can probably attest to
everybody's different. Like, I knew when things were coming.
Yeah.
Right. I had a whole summer to think about Tony Twist coming after me. That guy was like
if you could have done any moment in the summer, you'd have said, let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
It was the closest.
Let's schedule something for
I'll meet you in Temecula.
It was the closest thing to, like, thinking you're going to fight the actual Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie. Yeah. Right. Like, he was just like, I got to kill Nick Kiprios.
Yeah.
And I knew that was coming, but it was like, for me, it's like, okay, just get it over with.
Yeah.
Right. But don't overthink it. You don't have to, like, I never really sat in a pile of sweat know, in a puddle of sweat the night before, but I had teammates that did.
Yeah.
And it's such an individual thing. You can't even begin to explain it to a teammate or family member of what that feels like.
Well, you just think how terrible it is when, like, your spouse or someone says, we need to talk when you get home, or your boss says, hey, come on in tomorrow, or something like that. You know, it's that, but for fighting, and you have to just sit and wait.
Some guys are better at it, handling it. Some other guys have a very tough time. Mm-hmm. And that's where sometimes alcohol comes into play, and, you know, drugs, and that's where we got to keep an eye on these kids today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this text says Ottinger's 955 save percentage. Not sure when, what that point of that's over.
I think about the last eight games.
Is what we in Vancouver call the Tanev effect, and why we wanted him back so badly.
Yeah.
How about some love for the ultimate warrior and team guy, Chris Tanev, Keith in Vancouver? Boys, I wanted him here real bad.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question that if there's a comfort zone there for Tanev, that's... That was a statement to the Dallas Stars players that we want to win the Stanley Cup now.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
So Tanev is, when he's on the ice for Dallas, they're averaging about 60% of the expected goals. Dom Decision has that in his 16 stats article, which is really,
quite awesome.
Yeah. You know, like if you put any human on the ice and you average 6 out of every 10 chances, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah,
so he has helped Dallas quite a bit.
I don't know. Like when I think about Edmonton or Toronto not giving up something significant to go for it, I
think they tried, man.
No, you just didn't try hard enough.
No?
No, you didn't spend. You needed to spend a little deeper. And it's a crapshoot. I'm not saying that, like, you know, you go big or go home, but, you know, there's a few Edmonton Oilers right now, I think, on that roster that are going, did we do enough?
Buddy, it's to not add a D-man of significance at the deadline for you know, Stetcher, okay. But no.
Think about what that team with, you know, you have the pairing of Ekholm and Bouchard, which has been one of the best. But then if you have Tanev underneath that just makes you look like you're a whole different squad.
Yeah.
And same with the Leafs. Imagine you got him with Riley. Like, think about what that does to the rest of
your... pretend that Edmondson is Tanev.
Or,
you know?
Same with, like, they got Labushkin right after they missed out on him. It's like, he's good, but...
I'm interesting.
Tanev's proven track record, top pair, stud, excellent guy. Clearly the injury stuff, but...
Makes guys like Riley
amazing.
Listen, Bouchard's a hell of a talent. We know that.
Absolutely.
The numbers are huge, but I'm waiting interestingly to watch his commitment in his own zone to play hard and defend when it's needed the most.
I don't even know if it would be a lack of commitment as awareness sometimes. You know, like, you may want to do it. I just don't know if that's a strength of his.
Sorry to do a Leaf-centric text during the national hour, but
it wouldn't be Sammy if you didn't.
This one says, Sammy, loving that new leg room at the Rogers Centre, eh? Yes, I am. I'm very excited about that. As a tall man, it's great. Question for everyone. Where are we with the Treliving narrative? Beginning of the year, people couldn't slander his free agency ads fast enough, and now we're ready to say that the vision might have actually been pretty solid, and that's Eric from Barrie.
You know, he caught the ultimate gift with the Klingberg thing.
Boy, did he ever.
You know, that would be...
No question.
This team would look a lot different if you had to spend 4.5 against the cap on a guy that was, you know, atrocious defensively. So, caught a break, but yes, Domi, to me, having an excellent season, looks like a better player. Bertuzzi matters. The depth guys, Gregor's been really good. I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, we didn't see it in probably the first 40 or 50 games. Maybe it took him that long to find a comfort zone or find a rhythm in
Benoit, by the way,
what they were supposed to contribute. Bertuzzi, for me, is still a bit of a...
Wait and see.
Is it a good or a bad?
Is it good or bad? Can he score some key goals and be a dog on a bone?
Well, so much of this whole thing hinges on... In the big moments, he's great. Wait till the big moments. He won MVP when his junior hockey team won the championship. He was great for Boston last year. If he's great in the playoffs, you go, he's exactly what you thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
If he isn't, you go, you spent $5.5 million on 20 goals.
Right now, these guys are buying Brad Tree Living and Brendan Shanahan some time. And if it falters, if it fails in the first round, it's going to come right back at them.
Yeah.
Right? So you can say that for probably half a dozen teams right now in terms of who advances and who doesn't, and
yeah,
who's disappointed and whose coach is on the hot seat. All of it is coming after the first round.
Kent from Hamilton wants to know when Kipper will have his first three putt of the season. We've already been to Florida, so we've probably got it out of the way.
Probably under the belt.
I had a simulator in a house that I used to own during the pandemic. It was fantastic. Tough, yeah. The other thing that's saved my game is that you bought that retractable putter up in our office, the putting mat. So
Kipper spends an hour a day talking loudly to
talking
somebody.
Talking calls just and putting. Rolling putts. So he doesn't three putt a lot.
I forget that I have to talk to you every once in a while. I just go to your desk for some chocolates.
Chocolates and golf.
This is an interesting one. Quickly, how do you want to see the refereeing in this season's playoffs? Do you want to see them put the whistle away or clamp down to set a precedent? That's from Al in Summerland, BC.
Yeah. Every time Summerland, we talk about a precedent being set early, it disappears.
That's what I mean.
That's the history of our game. And ultimately, I don't think there's too many times that we've crowned a champion that said, you don't deserve it because of poor officiating. So that to me is the ultimate pass for the NHL officials, is that when we see a team lift a Stanley Cup, no one's sitting there going, they were undeserving because of poor officiating.
No, but there is, you know, the way penalties are called in the playoffs are typically, there's a spike in game one, two, whatever, early in the series, they set the tone or whatever, and you'll watch penalties per game go down around games four, five, six, seven. And statistically, it except does check for, out. That's not opinion.
Except for a meaningless pick play in game seven against the
Justin
Leafs.
Justin Hall's pick. Yes, that was very illegal.
Wes was pretty quick to throw the hand up for that one.
Was it Wes?
No, I don't even know. I was going to throw Wes under the bus. I know he listens, so take that one, Wes.
Let it go, Sammy. Let it go.
Never. Never.
But yeah, so it's very typical how refereeing ages, and also it goes down towards the bigger series. Yeah. So game seven of a Stanley Cup final. Good luck getting a call.
I much prefer it that way. I would prefer last night there was all those penalties in the Leafs Lightning game, and I'm like, this feels like the game one of the first round here.
Now, Leafs fans, who they've typically had a good power play, have complained that the Leafs don't get as many calls in the postseason, which they rely on getting because they have that great power play. You know, power play hasn't been great in the playoffs in the past, but that's playoffs, man. Never changes.
Yep. That's it.
All right.
Good text today, guys.
Quality text today. Shout out Summerland. Lovely place in the Okanagan.
Sounds great. Summerland
it's
is
between
a
between Kelowna and Penticton. It's
beautiful.
Oh no, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Tonight.
All right. What do you like tonight?
I like the New York Islanders to delete the to defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets. They won't delete them, but maybe they should. I like that one. And then Pittsburgh to beat Washington. You got the Tampa Bay as a back-to-back there at Montreal. Carolina has Boston. Florida, Ottawa.
I don't know. Carolina's sleepy.
I really am looking forward in the year 2024 to Sid versus Ovi.
I know.
Something I didn't expect earlier this season, where they were both horrible and neither of them look like they're going to make the playoffs. This is rounded into a classic matchup here where two teams that aren't great, but two superstars, aging superstars though.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
LA will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you see them making any noise?
No, because the top of that, you're looking at, you know, Dallas probably is an opening round matchup.
Yeah, I don't like them in that series.
Big game tonight, too, though, is Winnipeg getting a win over Calgary. They could still catch the Avs. They play the Avs once. They're 4 points back, so I would love to see Winnipeg roll over Calgary tonight.
Our thanks to Jim Ralph in our opening hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, and then Mike Rupp, as he gets set for the marquee game of the night.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh versus Washington. We are off tomorrow. Are we back Monday? What time Monday?
Monday, 2 to 4 Eastern. So if you're watching us live on TV or listening to us on the radio, that's when we'll be on.
If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great weekend. That's starting now for us.
Woohoo!